Watercolor artist Madison Wood wanders on a gravel bar along a year-round spring-fed creek on the Kings River watershed, searching for particular stones.
Well, these are mostly sandstones, and there's a lot of shale in here.
She bends down and picks up a stone. It sparkles in the cold early morning sunlight.
This one's kind of a fine grain. It's sandstone, so it's got some silica in it, but it's a beautiful, toasty, brown, tan kind of yellow color. It'll make a beautiful yellow paint.
Woods harvests stones for mineral pigments.
Once you start looking, you'll see all the different colors. This one. This one's got a little more red in it. This one's got a little more russet in it. And this one will make a nice gray. They're all the colors that I make are shades of yellow and browns and reds. They're all earth tones.
She places the river stone onto a flat rock and smashes it with a rough chunk of limestone.
And inside you can see a lot more brown than red. Sometimes you don't know until you get inside the rock and it's a surprise.
We head to her workshop below the family house on a sunny terraced hillside, part of the family's 160-acre homestead southwest of Kingston. She places some dark sandstone fragments into a small stainless steel bowl on her workbench.
I need to crush these rocks, and I have a mortar and pestle. And then I'll put it in the pestle, and it's loud. It's loud work breaking rocks. And look, now it's broke up into smaller pieces. And then you just keep that up and keep that up until you get it ground up into a powder. And once you get the powder finely ground with another mortar and pestle that I have, a smaller one, that's your pigment. And once you have a pigment, you can make any kind of paint.
Woods, a retired environmental scientist, loves exploring the woods, she says, and experimenting. In this case, making paints from Ozark crushed minerals.
To make a watercolor, you make a solution with a resin from a tree out of the Middle East called gum arabic. I don't know what the tree's called, but the resin is called gum arabic. So I make a solution with that, and then you mix that as the water in your rock powder. And when that dries, you have a nice little pan of watercolor paint.
And look at your palette. You have really warm green colors, dark colors. You have black.
Yeah, I make that from charred wood. And I mix it with the creek shale to give it a smoother texture. But see, all of these colors are Ozark colors. The blues come from lapis. Which is definitely not an Ozark color.
Lapis comes from
Afghanistan.
Vivid green paint pigments are hard to come by, so she'll use malachite, another non-native mineral. She arranges the small cubes of dried watercolor pigment into metal tins with a written color guide pasted on the inside lid. Tempera paints are a mixture of minerals and egg yolk, she says, and oil paints.
And oil paints, you mix that with linseed oil, and there's a few other oils you can use too, but linseed dries at a pace that's suitable for painting.
Madison Woods, a self-taught artist, learned to draw first with Prismacolor pencils, later graduating to watercolor using the hand-crushed creek minerals.
They're wild Ozark paleo paints. Paleo because they're ancient, from rocks that have been around. Our Ozarks are very ancient.
She was prompted to experiment after seeing lots of cracked sandstone on her driveway. Her land is really rocky, and that spurred her to do a little research.
For how paint used to be made, and lo and behold, this is how it was done. So I just reenacted it. And then on Instagram, there's a really good community of handmade paint makers, and they're open to sharing information on how things are done. So hashtag handmade paint makers or hashtag handmade watercolors.
Paleo paints on paper and canvas are rougher, she says, and reflect light differently than synthetic plastic pigments. Minerals contain a spectrum of colors which are scattered by light.
Oh, yes. And when you start looking at all the pigments all over the world, there are so many different arrays of colors. And I think every location has its own signature colors. So I'm excited about bringing the Ozark colors to the world, and I'm interested in exploring some of the other regional colors.
On her workbench, Woods has arranged all of her pigments in corked vials with samples of her watercolor work nearby.
It starts on the end with, it was a white limestone that I ground up, but I mixed it with some wood char to make a light gray, and then it moves into a greenish gray. And then some plant pigments that I used, they're called lake pigments because they're precipitated. It's a little chemistry involved, but you can get pigments from plants that way. And those are a yellow and a green. The green and the yellow are not as light fast. But it moves into a yellow and a little pink and a little more reddish brown, and then all the way to the other end where it's pretty brown.
Her Ozark mineral pigments are not light sensitive, she says, like commercially manufactured artists' paints.
The earth pigments will last forever. That's just the same thing that the cave people used for making their paintings in caves. And look how long that's lasted.
She picks up a painted paper sample, which is a deep russet.
Yes, that comes from a sandstone that's a really orangey russet color. And I use this a lot in our native birds. The kestrels have a lot of this color in them, so this is one of my most favorite colors.
Propped up on the bench is a framed watercolor of a raptor, a goshawk, painted with Ozark minerals.
I can do a lot of nature painting just using these paints, and it'll still look like it should look. It's not like an interpretation based on a different color palette, because nature is reflected in these rocks.
Madison Woods, an author, blogs about her myriad creative wilderness ventures on her website, Wild Ozark. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.